Turn our Bibles to the 12th and 13th chapter of the book of Acts. I believe it's very, very important to realize that God has got principles in His precious word for missionary work. And I particularly want you to notice at the end of chapter 12, we'll commence reading verse 24. This is the third summary in the book of Acts. But the word of God grew and multiplied. Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry and took with them John, whose surname was Mark. Now, there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers. Barnabas, he was a Levite. Simeon, a black man. It was called Niger, Lucius, a Gentile of Cyrene, a man named, which was brought up, but heard the Tetrarch, and saw. And they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas, and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." When they had fasted and prayed, and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. But it means they let them go from the work that they were engaged in. So they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost departed unto Cilicia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. Now God be pleased to bless, and I want to leave time. Can't see that clock. It's a good thing. Because we'll have an excuse, but I want to leave plenty of time because the gospel is very, very important. In this day and age, I want to speak to young believers. Because a need does not necessarily mean a call from God. And I want to point out that at the end of chapter 13, these men were engaged in ministry before their first missionary journey. And they were men who were able to work in cooperation with responsible brethren in the assembly there. And there were certain things we just thought of our brother mentioning in Matthew chapter 6 about alms and prayer, and also you find it here in our chapter fasting. I want to tell you the things of God are very, very important. And a man is not crowned unless he strive lawfully. And God is divine principle. And that is what we need to remember. That you'll never make a missionary if you haven't learned to function in service for God and in the assembly of God's people. You could get on a boat, they used to get on a boat, get on a plane today. You could have all the equipment for missionary work, yet not called by God. I want you to notice that this is so serious that these men, it says that they prayed, fasted, and prayed. Now that's a divine principle. The thing is, when God calls, it's calling for the Spirit of God to lead and guide and to bless in various ways, and if the Spirit of God doesn't guide, well then no missionary society will ever help. You find that these things that we read here, like our brother said, they fasted. There was a sacrifice associated with fasting. And you remember this, that quite often, and I think of a dear brother-in-law of mine who was he's out in India, and I thank God for him. He's not with the assemblies, but he's out there working and working for many years. And I used to watch him. And he was a young man who fasted. He did not use his money for himself. And you find he had different little boxes. And these were for the Lord's work. So when we speak about fasting, it doesn't necessarily mean to do without food. It means that you'll get to understand this, that there's times when there's sacrifice of self. And that is what we have here, because missionary work is far too serious for to be taken up lightly. Then there's prayer. And that is my devotional life before God. And if any of these two things are missing, I believe you could forget about a call by the Holy Spirit. I believe that these are principles that need to be spoken about. It's not necessary to go on a visit to Alaska and see a work and say, well, this is where God called me. I've never touted for anybody to go to Alaska. There's some who have come and they have found the Holy Spirit led them up, but you find things got very difficult. And one of the things you'll find, I would point them out, the first thing that you find when they were commanded, they were loosed from the responsibilities in the assembly. And if you don't know responsibilities in the assembly, don't think that you'll lift to something and go out into missionary work and become responsible. The assembly is the place, it's the school. It's the place where you learn to work. It's the place where you learn divine principles. It's a place where you realize that there's no segregation, that there's a collective group of people fellowshipping with the one aim, and that is to get the gospel out and to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. If we read down here, you would find, and you will find it, and I found it, you find the first thing that they hit was religious deception. You read that here in verse 6, a false prophet. And if you do not know the Word of God, I would say this, and I take Colossians and Ephesians, and Colossians tells us, let the Word of grace dwell in you richly. And there needs to be the Word, and the same results as let the Spirit dwell in you richly. So there needs to be that combination of God's precious Word, learning divine principles, knowing something about the power of God in your life. And I thank God I have a spiritual son here today. I love him, and I saw many precious souls reached and saved when the Lord took me there and I lived in South Africa. You see, I was in service before I was ever commanded to the Lord's work. I would be out, and I'm not saying this, I'm not saying it as if this is what I did. This is what you find, a heart for the things of God. I would go away at lunchtime. I would preach in the factories. At night I would be in the crowds. Our brother there knows that we were very busy in the work of the Lord. But the Lord, I was in unity with the assemblies. They are the only, I honestly believe, they are the only scriptural pattern in the Word of God. And so you find that this is very necessary, young man or young woman. There needs to be that ministry. You're not commanded and then you minister. You minister, and upon what you minister and your work, you find that that is commendable. There will be difficulties. There'll always be opposition. You better meet it at home than on the field. And one of the things I found was when I got onto the ship immediately, I was faced with false religion, propaganda, deception. And I thank God for the times that I spent over God's Word. Because these men, they came from all, I had a Bible reading on board ship. They would come off with questions. And I thank God that there was times on my knees, at my bed, I took in the Word of God and enjoyed it and was able to use the sword of the Spirit against these people. When we went to Alaska, and I'm not going to tell you about the geography, you can get that. There's many people going up to Alaska, but it's a very big country, and don't ask me when's the best time to go, because that's impossible to say. But Alaska is a big country. God called me there, and He brought me there, and He kept me there. I remember making the journey from Africa to Alaska. When I came to the border, I had an old car I bought for $200, made the journey to Alaska. And I don't know whether I've told this or not, but when I got to Alaska, I went in this, there was a brake tube that broke, and I had to get it fixed. And I gave out gospel leaflets and spoke to people. And there was a man, and he said, "I don't need that." And he was smoking, and he had a glass of beer. And he said, "I don't need that." He says, "I'm a Christian." And I said, "When you don't smell like one, and you don't look like one." But you know, I spoke to him about the Word of God. Romans chapter 6, and he says, "Young man, nobody ever told me that." And he says, "I'll give heed to it." And he says, "I'll ask God to sanctify my life." But as I left Scotty Creek, the car was fixed. I paid $9 and some, a lot of money. And he came running after me. And he said, "Will you do something for me?" And I says, "If I can." He says, "Will you take this?" He says, "You know, you'll starve up there." He says, "I paid $4.50. He says, $4.50 for a T-bone steak. He says, "You say you're going up there, no missionary society, and you're out on faith." He says, "Young man," he says, "I think you'll leave, but," he says, "I want to give you this." He didn't know that that was a message from God. God said, "I brought you here. I'll keep you here. Where God leads, God feeds. Brethren might remiss as far as their fellowship is concerned, but God is not remiss. If the Spirit of God leads out, then you find He will supply." There are many things that come to mind, but one of them is spiritual deception. When we got to the village, there was a medicine man there, an old fellow called Axel Ring. There was a lot of demonism there, mixed up with the Russian Orthodox religion, and they used the psychology of the mountain man and so forth. These people were in absolute bondage and fear. They wouldn't walk out or past the buildings at night. But you know, the only way, you'll notice here, the only way to overcome spiritual deception, look at it in verse 6. "Then Saul, who also is called Paul." Now listen, if you're going to be working with people, you better change your attitude. God didn't send me up there to make them Ulster men. And so you find here Paul's name is changed from Saul to Paul. He became identified with the people that God sent him to. And as we labored amongst them, I'll tell you, man, it's a sore heart I had. These people were an object, not only to the store. He was a man who had them in semi-slavery. I'm not exaggerating that. And then the demonism, and then the religion. But you know, I believe, and I thank God, I stake my all upon the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is the dynamite unto God, to everyone that believeth. And I thank God for the joy of seeing precious souls delivered by the power of God, and going on. For it was about a year, 15 months, when we saw 18 precious souls reached and saved. If I could take the time to tell you those people, every one of them is a story. One man, he was his father was a chief, and he was a terrible drunkard.
But you know, you loved them. You saw them in their need. And if you haven't got any compassion, if you can't shed a tear, forget about missionary work. And I'm not talking about tears for yourself, but tears for these precious souls. And so you find, you ask God, can God save these men? Now, because they were in the Russian Orthodox Church, there was Johnny Villam, and he could read. And because he could read and pray, he thought he was a Christian. And God had saved his wife. And he was going around the lake one day in the old green car, and there was a bunch of them drunk. And he said to me, Thompson, I'm going to hold on like Jacob till God blesses me. I said, Johnny, Jacob, it's something to hold on to. And if you die now, I said, you'll drop right into hell. My, there was war for 3 months. But you know that man, he went against his wife. He wouldn't allow his children to come to meetings. He thought he was a Christian because he could read and he could pray. He belonged to a religion. I told his dear wife, I said, you know, I took her to 1 Corinthians 7. You must know your Bible. And I showed her, this man is not willing to live with you. Live for God. And she went on living for God. So he packed his bags, and he said to her, get down here and pray with me. I'm leaving. And she said, no. And he got down, he'd opened it, Luke chapter 4, and he could read. And he read the temptations of Christ. And that man bowed there and was gloriously saved. So a couple of years ago, go home to be with the Lord. And there was an old chief in a place called Tetlin. It's a lovely area, you know. We don't, not so much as putting up tents, preaching the gospel, though I've had little tents. It was going into these villages and getting a little cabin, preaching the gospel. An old chief up in Tetlin, Chief Peter, he gave me a cabin, he says, you sleep there. It belonged to the Anglican bishop. 2 sleeping bags, lovely and warm. I don't like the cold. But you know, he would come in and he would tell me his story. And he could go back, I always thought of him like Moses. How he was able to repeat their history. Spoke about the wars they had, and then he spoke about the peace that they made. And I said, you know, Chief Peter, I says, I want to tell you my story. And I ended by telling them, that's the only trail to heaven. Jesus said, I am the trail. The only trail to heaven. That dear old man, the next morning he said to me, he says, Thompson, I'm on the right trail. And that has gone on. And I tell you these things because I feel that if you just give yourself, get exercised before God, get involved in the assembly, get involved in the things of God, it's one of the loveliest lives. It's not easy. And then I have hospital work. And I visit in homes. Some of these are very interesting. I remember going in, and I wasn't going in for a drink. But I went in this bar, and it had a billion room, and it had a bar where you got sandwiches. And I saw these 2 daughters reach and see it. And the old father, he was really angry. He hated God. They set up a cup of coffee for me, and I said, here, make sure he sees me paying for it. And I paid for it. That was in 1975. I want to tell you about that man. I visited him in hospital. I went down when he had and said he was very ill. And I accompanied him down to have a heart operation. Spoke to him all the time. I just took him on this Tuesday. Him and his wife, Marjorie, and I went and gave him some fruit for Easter. And just that dear old man, I honestly believe God's going to reach and save him. She said to me, you know, Tommy, He says to me, please pray every night. He says, you know God. I do. Pray for Neighbor Johnson, that God in his rich grace will save that precious soul. I suppose most of you know I come from Ulster. And we have had His Eminence the Pope at least twice in Alaska. Don't think he's got into Ulster yet. But he was down in Anchorage and he was in the Pope Mobile and I was up in the hospital visiting. There's this man called Lou Sledge. And I heard this cussing and swearing. And I went in to him and I says, tell me, do you come from Ulster? He says, why? Where's Ulster? Well, I says, he was cussing the Pope and talking about him. And then I started to speak to him, you know, about what salvation really was without works. He says, are you a preacher? I says, no, I'm a sinner saved by grace. And I just want to tell you some good news. We have a nurse, some of you may know her. She's in our assembly and we thank God for her. Beth Sullivan. She gives me many contacts in the hospital. And she told me about this man, she said, they can't find the vein to give him this bypass. He has already had a bypass. She says, I don't know what they're going to do. So I spoke to him. Spoke to him about the Lord. I'm going over this quickly. Spoke to him about the Lord. And then, the Sunday night, I went up after the gospel meeting. He says, Tommy, I'm scared. He says, I don't think I'll come through this. Now, you know, sometimes I do have faith. I says, Lou, I'm going to pray that God will bring you through. It usually takes them about a week to get over it. And I went in 2 days, and I said to the nurse, can I visit him? And this is what he said. There he is. There he is. There's a man that left his Christ. Wonderful. You see, these are the joys. It's what God is doing. And God needs our hands. He needs our feet. He needs our lips. He needs our eyes. And here we have young men. And don't waste your life. You may think, well, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. You know, I remember meeting an old engineer in Johannesburg. Used to be this city engineer. And I happened to be an engineer. And then he told me what he was. I said, did anybody ever come and visit you? He says, no, I never see anyone. See, that's what the world is. I give the old man tracts. I don't know if I ever get saved. Now, Alaska is a cold country. I don't like it. If you want to go up there, I'm glad to exchange it for you. But we have, and we have seen the Lord bless in the city of Anchorage. And we have, in our assembly, we have about 22 believers. And some of them are really trophies of grace. My brother was saying to me that when he was up there, he met a black man in the meeting. And I'll tell you, he's my beloved brother, Dick. Thank God for him. You know, he was like a needle. You could never get near him. And I asked his daughter, she came to the Sunday school. I says, when do you ever get near him? She says, he goes out to bed on Wednesday night to look at the TV, Gunsmoke. And she says, he has a cigar and he has ice cream. She says, that's when you get him. So I went and I got between him and the TV. And I never left there until he promised me he'd come to the meeting. I want to tell you something. Little faith will take you to heaven. Sometimes we have got language and Ulster and so forth. But I could tell you of men that have been saved. Going out the door, he says, well, I've done what you guys said. The next morning, he was a manager in a dry cleaning business. And he used to take his cigars. He had a big white Cadillac. man about town. He didn't take his cigars, and then his wife took them down. He says, I told you, he says, that none of those fellows said. Now, that's not much of a confession, is it? What he meant, he got to Christ. And that dear man has gone on, in spite of much, many trials and difficulties. He has his own business. And I tell you, when I hear him on a Sunday morning, get up and tell God that he sent his son for a poor sinner like me, my heart is filled with worship and praise and adoration. And we've seen others reach them saved. And we thank God for that. And we appreciate the kindness of God's people in their stewardship and in their prayers. And I just would, there's many other things I could say, but I'm not just too sure of the time. And I think I've got about
10 minutes.
Okay. 10 minutes. Recently, and now, I told you about Alaska, a young brother from West Springfield, that's over in, I think, Massachusetts, he had a deep exercise after he had been over at Waianae in Honolulu, about the people that were at a wedding. And he wrote to me, and he says, you're a veteran. You're a veteran. And he says, I've never taken a series of meetings. And he says, I'd love you to give me some help. Well, he sure didn't need me. I believe the Lord has his hand on that young man. And for 2 weeks, the gospel went forth. His exercise, a small assembly. Pray for them. Pray for Y and I. They've got a small assembly. But you know they were willing to take on this target of preaching the gospel. And they were all fully engaged in it. And the last night of the gospel meetings, God saved two ladies. A lady and her niece. And I've heard that they're going on well. And you know, I wish I was younger. I said to Dave Hanley, these ladies live over in the Big Island. I says, you know, Dave, the way I feel like going over to Hilo and having meetings and seeing if God would start something there, maybe in the assembly. And so we thank God for the little report tonight, and I do trust that the Lord will encourage you tonight, because there's so many that we could tell about that we would love you to pray for. There was a lady, a brother, brother from Scotland. One night I was called out about 10:30 by hospice. Called out to a home. And I found a dear Scotch lady. And she hadn't any more than an hour to live. And I bowed down. And I quoted John 3:16. And I says, if you understand what I say, squeeze my hand. And she squeezed it. And I said, dear, your head is resting on that pillow. Rest your soul on the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, and he'll take you into heaven. Sometimes I have, I was telling the sister, it's terrible to have a sense of humor sometimes, but after godliness and so forth, it's good to have a sense of humor. There was a man who's from Texas, and I was having some meetings about 16 miles or maybe 20 miles down from Anchorage. And he started to come out every Sunday. And one Sunday he came in and he said to me, something wonderful happened yesterday. And I said, tell me. Now his background was in Texas. He had had a heart attack. Then he had a stroke. And he had come up to visit his sister. And I'd met him and invited him out to the meetings down in India. And he says, you know, I went over to the glacier. There's lots of glaciers. And he says, I got tired and I came back to the trailer. And he says, I sat down. Now this is what he said.
He says Jesus just passed the door and said, "Is that where you are?" I said, "Well, just a minute, you know, I didn't what them have visions or something." No, he says, "I didn't see anybody." He says, "This is what it was like." And he says he came in and he said, the first time, he said, that was a flick of the fingers. The next time is a slap. The next time, he says, you're going out into eternity. And he said that the Lord Jesus said, put your hand in mine, and I'll take you right through into heaven. So I said to him, well, tell me, what about your sins? Christ died for your sins. He says, you know, he just told me about those. He says, never you worry again about those sins. He says, I have paid for them. And I often think what he would do if he went into the assembly where I come from in Ireland. And that we wouldn't baptize them. But you know, they don't have the language that we have. And one of the things we try to do is use simplicity of speech with godly sincerity. And we thank the Lord. I don't like the cold, but for 42 years I've been in Alaska. And tell my brother Baker, all these years, 42 years, I've been homesick for what we call the Cape Colored Assemblies. But you see, you can't choose where you want to go. God makes the choice. The Holy Spirit leads you out. He enables you to overcome all sorts of difficulties. And in the end, you find that they went back and they reported to the assembly was what God had done. Not what they were doing, but what God was able to do to open the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And so we thank God. I believe that is what we'll have on our hearts. And I do pray that the Lord might encourage some here, like dear man, Mr. George Knowles, give a report about Israel. It was Palestine then. And I found out myself going that night, and I said, Lord, I never knew of such thing. But if you can take me and use me, I'm willing to go to Palestine tomorrow. I have no exercise about Alaska. But please get exercise before God. For it's only one life. 'Twill soon be passed. And only what's done for Christ will last.